Welcome to Winnie Tales. I'm your host, Julianne Neal, and we're here with Bruce Anderson and friends with all of our favorite horse stories, pony legends, and unicorn yarns. Tune in each week to hear from Bruce with a Nature's View training tip, as well as conversations with some of our favorite horse lovers. Remember, the joy's in the ride.
So excited this morning to be talking with Sarah Tash. And the wonderful thing that I've noticed about Sarah over the past couple of months is that she and Bruce work together. Once Bruce has had a horse in training or things going on over here at Pear Tree Farm with horses that come into Squeakies, it's wonderful to have people that are on the team that work well together and have the same philosophy, and it's just been a nice relationship. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background with horses? How did it all start?
Yep, I started riding when I was 8 years old. Just took lessons like any other kid in Illinois, and when I was a teenager, 19, I moved to Cape Cod, worked on horse farms, lived on horse farms, and went off to college, to Southern Seminary, which is a riding college, did the riding team, and after that started breaking babies, racehorses, in Charlottesville, Virginia, and after that went to Kentucky. I worked on breeding farms. I broke babies for Judmont, Maya Comet, all racehorses. And then I was a vet tech for a while at Rood & Riddle. Went on to gallop racehorses for a man named Neil Howard, so at Churchill Downs, Keeneland. And then came down to Camden one winter, galloped here for Lane's End. After that I did some hunter jumper barns. So I kind of have this mixed background. When I got married, and in the military you move a lot. I met a lot of different techniques. I like Buck Brenneman, who is my favorite probably horseman of all time, and he does a lot of, I guess, natural horsemanship, and I was attracted to that because of starting horses and problem horses. That's what I really like to do and work with. And yep, I just wanted to get better at it. So I look at a lot of people's different techniques. And when we moved here finally, I met Bruce, and I like his way of doing things, and just watched him slowly. And he's really helped a lot in my way of training. And just, you know, like I say, picking up things along the way. I still do, you know, hunters and jumpers, and it bringing horses to horse shows and schooling them, and it all plays into it. Just that the ground manners and the round pen work, it all relates to everything else you do with horses. So, yeah, it's sort of my background.
You've done a lot, and I think that's exciting because yeah. it seems like it's all different.
Yes.
When you were like a little girl, did you know from the time you were two or three that yeah. you were a horse
when I was or yes, I wanted to do horses right away, and when I was 8 years old, I finally got to ride, and I always wanted to jump, hunters, jumpers, and I was lucky. When I lived in Germany for 6 years in the military, I got to do jumpers, and I had some pretty incredible horses that were problem horses, but for me, they definitely gave it their all for me. And I learned that if you can kind of give to the horse and you could deal with their quirks, they can give everything to you. So, yeah.
I think in a sense, you just kind of said, when you said problem horses, we get a lot of people that call Bruce about problem horses.
Right.
But you just said the same type of thing, that it's the person.
Yes.
When they're giving you their all.
Yep.
I mean, that's an obvious thing, that
yeah.
it's all about the person.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say always, but. You know.
It is. I have yet to come across, maybe there are horses out there that are, you know, serious problem horses, but everything that I have seen has always come from people. Mm-hmm. My own problems with horses that I'm not being able to figure out is because I have not been able to figure out, not because it's the horse's fault. everything that I teach a horse, be it flying lead change or whatever else, is just figuring out that horse's personality, what works for that horse, and always remembering that it's about the horse, not about you. Be it ego, pride, figure it out. It may take longer with this one or that one. Every horse's personality is so different, and that's what I like about the work.
So you're here at Pear Tree a good bit, it sounds like, but do you travel some as well?
No, I basically go to different barns. I get to ride at the Towels. I ride a couple of their horses. I ride a jumper that came in from Holland that's a little quirky, and I've been lucky enough to ride him. And so I take lessons with my riding instructor, Liza Boyd, and so I ride at different places a little bit. And you get definitely a different, Bruce Christensen's horses are hunters, and so you get a different type of horse. And then I come here and I work with maybe green horses or problem horses.
You are listening to Winnie Tales. We thank you for your support.
So you recently got a new horse yourself?
Yes.
Do you have other horses other than the newbie?
No, it's my only horse, because of course I have people that try to give me horses for free, or can you fix this, or do you want this horse? It needs, you know. So it has to be a horse that has a lot of potential, I guess, because either way you have to pay board on whatever horse it is until I can actually get my own farm. And so this Chili came to me about this horse and said he's free. He's a very large Hanoverian. He's quirky in a lot of ways, but I think it would work for you. So I did talk to the woman and we went out. I certainly knew I needed Bruce's help for a lot of reasons, but especially trailering, because Bruce is so good at getting a horse. Not only was a horse's problem getting him on the trailer, it was when he's in the trailer, just claustrophobic, panicked. He's 8 years old. He hasn't been handled. Anytime he has been handled is not in a good way. Bruce was wonderful. He came out and got the horse on the trailer, and he also worked with closing up the trailer and all his different techniques that I would not have known. So I work with problem horses getting them on a trailer, but not to this extreme. And we got him back here to Squeaky's, and that's what we've been working on, is a lot of that and the round pen work. His manners are horrible, which now they're a lot better. And to watch the change just in a week and a half of this horse's personality, which it goes back to, it has nothing, no fault of this horse's whatsoever. It was all in the handling and lack of handling. And the horse just learned to be a bully because he's a very big horse. And so.
The trailer loading. I remember the first time I heard you're getting a new horse. we had some friends in town and went to dinner with them, and they said, trailer loading was an interesting thing. So did you know before you got the horse that that was going to be a problem?
That was definitely one of the problems. What Chili had said is, originally, they had tried to put the horse on the trailer, and the brother had done it across the street in an aggressive way. Chain over the nose, chain over the lip, and it just got more and more aggressive, and they never got him on the trailer. Then Chili, somebody came and bought him, and Chili got him on the trailer, and the shipping company, one of them was the shipping company wouldn't take him, because when he was on the trailer, he was panicking and everything was moving and rattling and he just freaked out. And so the trailering guy said, no way. He didn't want his trailer hurt. He didn't want anything bad to happen. So the people then declined to buy him because they said, if it's that bad, we're not going to take him. Another time he was bought again, and Chili got him on the stock trailer, and the woman said, I don't want my horse to go on a cow trailer. My horse is not going to go. So this was how this horse's experience of the trailer, and that's the only times, I guess, that it was on a trailer. And then, so I knew it was going to be a big problem. So I asked the woman originally if I could walk him to a friend's farm, because I knew it would take some time, and, I just wanted to just spend the time and that Bruce could do his thing. And so that is what we did. Chili walked him to another farm. I drove the truck and trailer and brought it there, and Bruce came over, and it actually didn't take as long as I thought it was going to take. And I kind of had a nervous breakdown, and Bruce was very wonderful and drove the horse back to Squeaky's. Because I was having a nervous breakdown. So he has been, I couldn't have done it without Bruce. There's no way. And this is what I love to do, but I knew that I needed somebody much more qualified in that area than me. So
we're going to come back to that horse. But, I wanted to ask you about another horse for a minute, and that is Q.
Yes.
Q's been in Camden for about 30 days, and Bruce, you've been so good not talking at all, and I know that you're like dying to chime in, or not, but we're going to talk a minute about Q and why he's here and the experience that's gone on. So Bruce, you know, you can talk now. I had told him to be quiet and let Sarah have her introduction, but if you want to chime in, Bruce, you can. So first of all, in fact, Bruce, if you will start this part off, tell us about Q and why he's here.
Q is a horse that's in partnership with two people. One of the people, apparently I worked with her a long time ago, which I don't remember, but I guess she remembered that. And she had this young horse that they had purchased, she and this friend of hers or partner or whatever. And it was three, or it is three now, and they needed to get it started. And she figured that she needed to send it to us. And so the plan was to have the shipper bring it up from Georgia. The only problem was the day that they went to load it, the horse wouldn't go on the trailer and it flipped over. So I guess they decided, that ain't gonna happen. So then I drove down, and luckily they had a round pen there, so I worked with him in the round pen a bit, and then got him on the trailer and brought him up. But one of the interesting things with him was, when I work with him, it's like you can feel through the horse's action, you could sort of see their mind, and it's like, it was like this interesting blind slate.
Yeah.
You know, which is, was kind of cool, because Sarah was here when the horse came, and she picked up on that also. It was kind of like this, there was nothing there. I mean, he's 3 years old, and it's like he had no clue. So, got him here. I don't know if I took him to the round pen right away or not. But when I did work with him, all I wanted to do was put him in the trailer. And as soon as I got anywhere close to the trailer, he would rear up. So we sort of worked through those issues until I got what I call alpha mindset, to where he did not load. I didn't want him to load. Loading was not that was important, was that he was willing to focus on that, because what I found was it wasn't the trailer, it was the pressure created by the trailer. And in the work that we do, it's all about what we do is we work on the unseen, patience, timing, feel, problem solving. I call that the mental tools. And if their mental tools aren't equal to the pressure, they're going to either flee, freeze, or fight. And so basically, the pressure created by the trailer, he couldn't handle it. So instead of him trying to work through it, he just automatically swings to one of those three things. So what we have to do, and in my work, or in the work that we do, which is not really work, but this is more my journey that I share with others. This is, I'm not really training horses. Well, this is the realization that I'm coming to, is that in this work, it's more about training me to work through a lot of my stuff that I've picked up through the years. And the byproduct is the horse is being trained. But the emphasis is not on me, the emphasis is on the horse. So what happens is that here's this horse that's having a hard time. And when it's not doing the picture, I hear you, that's when growth happens. So for me, I want that. I don't want him to do the picture, because then that's when I can help the horse to help himself grow. Until he finally sort of showed intent, alpha mindset, It's not the word alpha that most people know about horses. Alpha simply means that they're able to now do the picture. Whereas when they're not doing the picture, where they overreact, underreact, I just call that tyrant mindset, not the word in the dictionary. So tyrant is just, they're not doing the picture. Alpha is they're doing the picture. Tyrant is not bad. It's just they're not doing the picture. That's all. But a lot of people get caught up in the word tyrant and they think it's a bad thing, and it's not. So that day he finally was able to be in the moment and take that step like he's going to get on, and then we stop there. So the rule of thumb is the harder time they're doing it, the quicker you want to release. So we sort of built from there, and the round pen that I work in, which is just an incredible round pen that Anne Shirley had built many, many, many years ago, is right around the corner from here. So what I mean literally around the corner, or two corners actually,
two corners.
And a little loop. I would put him on the trailer, drive him up there, we work in the round pen, and in the round pen, again, what we're doing is building their pressure threshold. We're allowing them a choice between alpha mindset, tyrant mindset. When they don't do the picture, which is what I'd like, that's great, because then that way I get to build, how should I say, build their mental tools up, build their muscle memory, and the main thing, give them a choice. But our job is to help them survive in the world we have created, as opposed to the world we created for, which is nature's world, and which is the world that they come from. But we're supposed to be the stewards of this horse and help them survive in this world we've created, which to me is somewhat of a false world, to say the least. So a lot of what I do is not a reflection of who I am, but more so of a reflection of what I know from the world we've created. And so I need to let the horse know, okay, if you think this hurts, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen to you if you keep acting that way. Which I think that's one of the interesting things that maybe you're picking up on when we do the work. I kind of get the feeling, because the interesting thing with me with Sarah is from the time I met her, I sensed that she had this gift. And she was doing it, but I don't feel that she was consciously doing it. Now, how I switched over to Sarah, I don't know, because we'll be talking about Q, but it's all one and the same.
We'll come back to Q, believe me.
But anyway, for months and months and months, you know, I've been wanting to share this with Sarah because she has it. But Sarah, in her wisdom, was like, there is no way I'm going into the round pen with you. So after doing the process that I do with Q, which is sort of building his pressure threshold up and getting him mentally stronger, what I found before I had Sarah was I would use Chili. And Chili would then take this and build upon it. But the thing about it is, so he'll take them out on the trails, and it's not the trails, but the pressure crib at the trails, that he's actually encountering seen things. And Chili's actually working on a seen thing, like getting the horse to do something. So what's interesting about all of that is the horse now starts putting into practice what he's been learning with us. So what we do is we don't desensitize them, but actually sensitize them. So when the pressure created by certain things, he or she will not be as reactive. And then, of course, using Chili, who's very gifted and also is a natural at all of this, although I don't feel that he's as consciously aware, but he's willing to learn. The only problem is we have a little bit of a language barrier, Chili. So anyway, what I found was when I met Sarah, I really liked what she did, because what she would do is use tarps and umbrellas and all kind of crazy stuff like that, which to me are actually seen things, and it's not the umbrella, but the pressure created by. By adding Sarah to the mix before Chili gets on, it's almost like you've carved this piece of wood, and then what Sarah does is put this coat on it to where you just strengthen it. And then when I give it to Chili, it's not as, what would you say, not as dangerous. The horse is a little stronger.
Stronger, yeah.
You know? A lot stronger, especially as we grew older. And Chili, unfortunately, has, like all of us, has gone through and had some mishaps with horses. So It's a way to not just protect the horse, but also protect Chile. So we have a better, stronger finished product. Or not product, because it's never finished. It's ongoing.
Good foundation.
Absolutely. So hopefully the pressure created by those people out there, the horse is a lot stronger. Although one of the main things that I emphasize on is if I'm going to work with somebody's horse, they have to come and do the work also. It doesn't always work out that way, but I'm pretty insistent about it because then I don't feel that I'm doing the horse a service. So with Q now, we have gotten to the point to where Sarah has worked with him, and nobody really knows this, but after the third day of working with him and complaining, well, you can jump in here. She would complain that it's like there's nothing I can do because whatever I do, there's no reaction.
Right.
So
when the horse first came here, he was shut down. He was just sort of like a feral horse. He was running around. He didn't even realize you're there. And I thought, well, that's going to take some time, you know, not just the trailering part, but the whole rest of it looked like he's going to be here a while. And so I didn't watch the process of Bruce working with him every day. I mean, I would be here, but, you know, I'd see Bruce working with him, but I wasn't. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, Bruce goes, hey, you know, could you do the stuff that you do, the plastic bags and tarps? Okay. And thought, oh, he's going to be reactive. Nothing. I said, you got to be kidding me. How could this horse go from that extreme where he was trying to get him to walk? It's just a little bit of water right here, and the horse just couldn't even cope, I mean, in the beginning. And I'm going, what? How could that be that quick that this horse switched? And so I said to Bruce, I mean, I did plastic bags, I did tarps, I did umbrella, I walked him through stuff and he didn't care. And what else do you want me to do? And so Bruce was out here with my horse, I think. And I was in the stall with Q and I put a Western saddle on him. And, you know, we wanted to see how he'd handle all that. He had had a exercise saddle on him before, but I threw my Western saddle on him and I thought, I had a halter and a lead rope, and I always get on horses in the stall for the first time, and I just felt that the horse was fine to get on him. So I kind of laid over him like I normally would, and I did yell to Bruce that I was getting on him, but I think he didn't quite hear me, maybe.
And it's not that I didn't want to get on him, but it's like I listen to the horse, and I have the advantage of having these two, Chili and Sarah. And I use them, in a sense, to help the horse. And in this particular instance, because where this horse was when he started, I kind of felt that I wanted Chili to get on, not Sarah. Not that I had a problem with Sarah getting on. The bigger problem that I had was not with Sarah, but with me dealing with Sarah getting on. Not because I don't feel she could do it. I just didn't want her to get hurt. Because you have to understand.
So you like me more than Chili.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I do not like to talk about the issues that horses have. Because if I bring up what his issue was,
the rider gets a preconceived notion.
Then the rider gets a preconceived notion, and then they have it in their head, and it's not fair on the horse. Right. Because the horse isn't choosing to do this. It's just the reaction that the horse does. This particular horse does, which in our world is not beneficial at all. And then if people learn about this because of this habit that this horse has, or the reaction that he has, it is not beneficial at all to him. So which is funny because now Julianne's coming with this big white thing.
Oh, look how
and Marley's like, what the like, hell is that?
On? Trying to get the sun off your face, Sarah. Sorry.
Oh,
so just so you know what's going on, Julianne comes out with her filmmaking equipment and there's this thing to block the sun. And Marley's like, okay, what's that? And again, it's not that, but the pressure bear that. And he's like, but at least he's dealing with it so far anyway. Mm-hmm. So my point being is that I just felt that I would like Chili to do it. Because of the situation where this horse is at. And this is what Chili works with all the time. He works with a lot of the racehorses still. Whereas Sarah did work with the racehorses, but she's not working with the racehorses. And I have other things that I need Sarah for, not this. I was walking her horse and all of a sudden she's like saying something in the stall. So I'm like, what are you saying? So then all of a sudden, I walk her horse back into the barn, and lo and behold, you can carry on.
So I just, I would never get on a horse on my own accord, other than places I've worked for, that you had to get on a horse in a certain amount of time. If I felt uncomfortable at all, that he would be reactive, I felt the horse was in such a good place. And I just laid over him, got up and got down, went to both sides, and then just got on him and rode him around the stall with a halter and lead rope and flipped the lead rope over his neck and moved his feet, and he was fine. And we did the same thing the next day, and he was great, and he was just ready to go to that next step. I did it for a living, riding race, breaking babies. That was my job. I had two jobs that were up to 20 babies a day. And you definitely learn a feel for if that horse is ready for you or not. And that horse just was very comfortable. He wasn't bothered by anything.
Wow.
So it was a huge change in a horse. It's probably one of the biggest changes I've seen in a horse that quickly, to go from one extreme to the other. And he's a good guy.
You're listening to Winnie Tales, the official podcast of Nature's View and the Marley Project, brought to you by JA Media Productions.
Pretty impressive. And then at that point, we had Chili start working with him. And I did not tell Chili what Sarah had done, not because I didn't want him to know, but it's all about the mind. I don't want him to have anything in his head. I don't want him to be thinking. So basically, Chili started doing the same thing and getting on into the stall, and I would work with him and hold the horse. And what we did was then we came on out and we started, I would do my thing while he would be on the horse's back. So we're sort of transferring over what I've done to what Chili's asking of him. And by the third day, Chili, and that's what he does, kind of like what Sarah does. You'll get a lot of the work we do on the farm, not in one place. We'll go in a paddock and long line. We'll go into the round pen. There's a little round pen here. There's a jumping pen here that we work in. And there's also the jump field where the jumps are. So Chili would use all those different things to work on this horse, whether it's long lining, whether it's lunging, or even riding. And then he got to this one day, I think it was the third day, and all of a sudden Chili just went out the front and went down the road and rode around the perimeter of the property on the outside. And the horse couldn't really care and was doing everything we asked him to do. And what was that, third? And then the fourth day, he did the same thing again. He did all the stuff inside, and then he rode out again. He did say that he didn't want to go down by the mares, which he did the day before, because he felt that the horse was a little bit concerned about that. But that's what's great about Chili. He doesn't force them to do something. And this is a horse that you didn't want to force. You've got to go less is more with this guy, because you don't want to engage that behavior that he had before he got here, and what he had at the beginning, because somebody's going to get hurt really badly. And it wasn't that he was a mean horse, it just didn't know anything. So it was that survival instinct kicking in for him. The fourth day, I got here and I was like, okay, so this is what we're going to do. By this time, we got Sarah's horse here. And in fact, we got Sarah's horse there the first day. But we were working with Sarah's horse and doing different things. And I thought, okay, I need Marley. So this is Marley. And this is my teacher. Well, one of my many teachers, but my main teacher. And Marley, he is part of the team. An integral part of the team, wasn't he?
Definitely.
I mean, so what Marley would do is I would work with the horses at a certain point with Marley. First, I'd work with them on the ground. Then whatever I did on the ground, I will do off of Marley's back. And then I long line them on the ground, but then I would go out on Marley's back, long lining horses through the woods, or ponying them. So Marley helps them to sort of transfer. So we got to the point too where I felt that Bing needed a little support from another horse. So what we did that day was we got Bing out. I rode Marley, ponying Bing, which Bing had never been ponied before as far as I know. And he was a little hesitant, but he figured it out. Then Sarah got on one of the horses that she rides here, Ziva, who hadn't been out in I don't know how long, because she's, you know, coming off an injury, and Sarah's been working on rehabbing her, so it was time to go for a little walkabouts. So Sarah's going to ride her, and of course Chili was going to ride Q. And off we go. And
wow.
It was sort of, we went down the trails and stuff like that, across ditches, yada, yada, yada. What do you think of Q?
Q was fantastic. Ziva was not, but Q was.
It's always the unexpected, isn't it?
I knew.
But not only that, what was interesting also, for example, out there, there's this wooden platform that we used to walk on. And it's not the platform, but the pressure could bear the platform. Q would have nothing to do with it. I take it back.
Bing
would have nothing to do with it. And he's being ponied. Nobody's riding him. This is the first time that Q sees it.
Yeah.
And Chili's on, and Q just, instead of going, he does a lengthways bit and all four legs. And then he just stands on the damn thing like no big deal.
And better yet, Chili was using his whip to get Bing on the horse off this three-year-old who's supposed to be so, and then ponying wise, Bruce would be ponying Bing and Chili would bring Q up next to Bing and kind of push together and use his whip on Bing.
So why was he doing that?
Touch all over to kind of sensitize him, and Q just could care less.
Wow.
Like you just.
And how was Bing?
Oh, and Bing was good about it. I mean, he was kind of prancing around a little bit, and Q was just as quiet as can be.
And the reason we did that is because one of the things about Bing is that it's almost like he's claustrophobic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so all of this is trying to get him ready for the trailer. Like that board that I talked about.
Everything, yeah.
He had to learn to step up and the unknown. So it's all about getting him to work through the pressure of the trailer. Because once we conquer that...
Mm-hmm.
Who he is going to come out more so. So yeah, it was interesting. And then of course that we have some footage of Chili going out in front now and leading the pack, trotting on this path that he's never been on before.
Yep.
Q that is, and then Sarah's going trotting behind him, and I'm behind them, sort of taking my time videotaping. And all of a sudden, Sarah's horse starts bucking and carrying on behind Q. Now most young horses, when that happens behind them, would take off.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Unfortunately, at that moment when I was videotaping and the horse started prancing, my hand was poking down, so we didn't capture those moments.
Those lovely moments.
But but we did see Q's reaction afterwards. So yeah, it was just so incredible how. So not only that, but then Chili rode him 6 times because we went out again. And now the horse's Q is transferred over to Sarah. And now Sarah is working with Q and riding him out. So we changed riders now and a different pressure. The thing that I learned about this work is that we have the picture, but the horse tells us what to do and how to do. And if, but we aren't conditioned to do that. We have been conditioned that we say what to do, when to, how to do. And if that's your habit, I don't know if this horse is ready to deal with that.
That
I think he is more so than not, but it's not fair to put him in that environment, which is the whole point of having the person come and work with the horse.
Well, maybe we can get her here before he goes home, I would hope so. Well, getting back a little bit to your new project, what are your next steps with, what's his name again?
Bruce calls him Bing. I call him Free Man. See him as a free horse.
Free Man Bing?
Free Man.
So Free Man Bing. What is the next step for Free Man Bing, and how are things going with Bing?
He's definitely progressed in a good way. You know, biggest thing is trailer loading. Riding him, I'm not so concerned about riding him at all. I have gotten on him. That's not my concern. It's more the ground manners and just handling a lot of pressure. You know, everything that does have to do, just like what Bruce is talking about with the trailer loading, you know, getting on things, especially with his back legs. Bruce had a great way of working with him the other day where he backed him up and the horse went, no way. He doesn't like anything around his back legs. I mean, you could pick up his back feet and stuff like that, but as far as him moving on something up above or below, anything unbalanced, he doesn't like it. He kicks out. And so Bruce did a lot of techniques that way to get him stronger. And, you know, that's probably the, I guess, end result is the trailering thing. That's the biggest hurdle that we'll have.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of hurdles, I saw a picture of you on Facebook from yesterday, maybe.
Oh, jumping Callie's horse.
Was that
horse. No, gosh, no, I know. People were like, is that your? I'm like, no, that is somebody else's jumper okay. that came from Holland last year, and she doesn't ride him. I do, and yes, he's an amazing horse, and if I hit the lottery, I would buy him. But
and that's the interesting thing, not to cut you off, but I will.
I'm used to it.
This,
it's okay.
This horse is actually one of those horses that we work with. And what's funny is when the horse arrived here, I wasn't here, but I asked Sarah to be here, or she happened to be here, but I think I'd ask you if you could be here. And so...
Yeah, so this woman who owns a farm, she teaches lessons and has boarding facility and everything. She went to Holland. She tried the horse. It was, of course, wonderful. It has a lot of talent. A lot of scope is what you call it. And she bought it to be a Derby horse. But of course, in Europe, the horse is in a stall 24/7. It doesn't go out in the field. It doesn't see all the craziness that we have. And it's in an indoor when they ride it. Comes to the States, and she said it's not the same horse. So she has, you know, of course, an outdoor arena. Horses are running around. And the horse is definitely not a quiet horse. So it came here. Bruce said, you know, can you work with it? Because he wasn't here. He said, you know, hey, she just wants it to get, you know, started and kind of start riding it for a couple of weeks. And I said to the owner of the horse, you're going to have to definitely put this horse with Bruce for a couple of weeks. And he's just, so she did. And Bruce worked with him.
Same about the trailer when he got here.
Oh, gosh. He was just, you couldn't back him off the trailer. The owner was trying to back him off the trailer. I waited for a little bit, and then I came out, and where is she? And like I say, she herself is a horse person, and the horse was dripping sweat. It was winter time. She couldn't get him off, and she finally gets him off the trailer, and he's so revved up. I said to Bruce, I'm not touching this horse until tomorrow. And he just, same deal, couldn't comprehend anything around him. If a horse ran, he'd bolt. He had a bolting issue. He was ridden by a European where they're very strong, use a lot of leg and seat, and they want him to be a hunter now or a Derby horse, which is a completely different thing. Yeah, so Bruce worked with him. What was it? A couple of weeks? Maybe?
Yeah, the usual.
Yep.
Put him through the program.
Yep. And he was a different horse when he came back to me then, and then I started to ride him, and then she asked if I would keep riding him, and
yeah,
I've been.
But the thing is this. This horse wouldn't be where he is. Great that I did what I did, but if you had nobody to follow through.
Right.
And that was the great thing about this one here. What's your name again?
Bambi.
Yeah. The great thing about Bambi here and what she does, not only did she do the groundwork and create that build upon that, but when the horse would act out, it wouldn't bother her. And she was able to build this horse up to where one minute he couldn't handle pressure and to where now, you know, she's gotten to the point to where she started off just trail riding, which is what he needed, going through the woods. You didn't need to be working him in the ring. He knew how to jump.
He knows how to
he
jump.
He needed
yeah.
just chill out, have things thrown at him, work through it. And she did that until now she's taking him for lessons with Liza Boyd. And
who rides him beautifully.
But what's funny about this is when she went for her first lesson, she was freaking out because she didn't feel that she was good enough. She didn't feel that the horse was good enough. And I'm like wanting to hit her over the head with a 2x4 because that's how I ended up in Camden. I worked for Jack and them running their barn for them. And Liza was a little kid at the time. And now Liza's teaching. So I know Liza, and I know this one and her riding abilities, and I'm like, what are you kidding me? You know, get over there, and you deserve this, you know, and you are good enough. and the horse is good enough because you've helped the horse get to this point, and that's a good transition. So now they're having lessons with Liza, but not only that, now she's actually working. Liza has hired her to work on some of the ponies that she has, that Liza has. And so for me, the joke is, here's this person that was terrified to go there because she felt she wasn't good enough. And now here's Liza hiring her to work the ponies for her. Now her head's getting a little bit too big, but that's all right. I guess we'll just have to learn to deal with that.
Well, that's a huge compliment, you know?
Oh, they're very nice people. They're wonderful people. And I was very nervous, and
I'm pretty special.
Yeah, I like it over there a lot.
But this is my big question to you. When we go back to the beginning of our first meeting, when I was trying to get you into the round pen, now, just so you know, she is going in the round pen with us and her horse Bing, because she has to. So you've seen the transformation for the horses. My question to you, and no, I'm not putting you in a corner, but I am, you know, have you noticed anything different in yourself? Do you get where I was coming from? And do you see how strong you are and blah, 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 and yada, 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 yada?
Definitely. And that's why I wouldn't probably go in the first place. And I've definitely seen a change. And it makes you see things in a different light, I think. Everything in life, not just to do with horses. In your life in general, of handling things, it has helped.
Handling the pressure of life. I mean, that's what, I mean,
right.
The only reason I draw her in is because this is not a job for me. When I look back now, I suddenly realize that I retired in 89 when my mother died. Yes, I was doing this work and I ventured down this path, but I realized that I wasn't actually working. I was actually on a journey on myself. So this work is working on myself that I share with others. And I find that I'm a lot better about dealing with pressures, which I kind of see that happening with you, to where instead of getting the picture done, it's more about in getting the picture, building yourself up and making yourself stronger and work through a lot of one's issues, because I found it's not just the mental, but the muscle memory. Do you start seeing that change where when you're working with the horses now, that I'm not saying, I never really felt that you were about the picture. I felt that you were about getting the horse to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
But has this helped you to understand what you otherwise were doing naturally, to be more logical about what you're doing?
Yes. I definitely think so.
Is that because you're on camera or on voice or whatever and you have to say that?
As far as, I guess, like any teacher, you take things from them and I'm just not good at wording stuff. You process it. I'll hear your voice in my head, like if I'm doing something with a horse, and I'll hear that. And that's why that at that moment, instead of before, I wouldn't know why I'm doing it. I just do it because it comes natural or something, where now it's that's what Bruce said, and that's why, so it is. It's more of a understanding why I'm doing it. And, how is that horse acting? He's acting alpha. He's not acting tyrant. Am I acting a tyrant? I think about it more.
So would you say that it's helping you to find the you, or are you finding yourself being more like a Bruce?
Just finding my own self.
Yeah, and that's the whole point behind this.
That's sort of everybody's stuff that I take. I take what works for me. I have seen so much, especially trailering, holy crow. But, being in the round pen and doing the long lining, and where you drop the one line, I couldn't believe how difficult that was for me, which I would have thought it would be so simple. But when you're having to actually... And where you get frustrated, and then you're overthinking it, and sort of stuff that you normally do in life, that you're frustrated because you can't figure it out, and you go, this is stupid, how can I not figure this out, and then blah, 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 blah. And to then have to step back, go, all right, calm down, think about it, and it's just normal things in life that you would have to deal with, not just horse stuff. So yeah, it's been an interesting learning process, I guess you'd say.
Because to me, what this work is about is not creating a picture, but acquiring the mindset needed to create a picture. And it's actually making you stronger to where instead of the past interfering, the past is now guiding you.
Yeah.
Whereas before we get to a certain point of lock up, now it's like, ooh, opportunity, not a mistake.
Like in life, I'm definitely an overreactor, not with horses at all. I guess that's why I like being around horses. I can get outside of my own head or whatever, but in normal life, I'm very overreactive. So it's shown me, hey, you don't have to be such an overreactor at the time when things go wrong. Try to tone it down. Try to keep your energy down. Try to think it through.
Well, I think that's been a really nice look at Q's journey and Bing's journey, and then a little bit of our journey together on this little team. I hope you don't mind that we're considering you a member of the team.
No, I like you. No, I like it. No, I like it a lot.
Bruce depends on you a lot.
Appreciate
you very much.
I have been very happy to meet Bruce, and he's helped me immensely.
And Chili also.
This episode of Winnie Tales is brought to you by Squeaky Wagenstein and Pear Tree Farm.
So I've been working out of this farm, or been involved with this farm since, Molly wants to talk, for the last 20 years at least, and seen a lot of people come through this place. And the thing about Squeaky, to me, that's most striking is when you first meet her, you don't realize what a nice person she is. But when you really get to know her, she has a really kind heart. And for her to be or allow me to do what I've been doing here for 20 years, because it's so different, says a lot for her character.
So how does Chili fit into the mix of the team?
It's one of those situations that nobody's greater than the other. You know, it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg. Who cares? Look after the chicken and the egg and you'll always have chicken and eggs. And that's how it is for us. It's like, I don't feel that one thinks that you're better than me or whatever. We all have our role to play in helping this horse, you know? And we're all good at what we do, and our role is important. So for me, it's great in doing what I do, because then I feel that what the horses have taught me, I'm now passing on to these two. And what's great about that is when they go off and do their thing, whether it's with horses or with people, they're able to deal with the pressures of life a lot different and sort of become more the stewards that they're meant to be, if that, for lack of a better word, and be a better human being to themselves and therefore to others, which is the whole concept of this work. Natural humanship, allowing one to be more humane to themselves, and therefore you're able to be humane to others. So by me sharing this with people like that, with Sarah and stuff like that, and Chili, we are then able to sort of show how horses can make a difference. You know, by Sarah sitting here, which I know it's not easy for her to do and expose herself like this, hopefully she is going to inspire somebody out there to realize, wow, look how the horse has helped me, and using this technique has allowed me to reach a whole new level. And that's the whole thing about the work. The work that we do is sharing these pieces with you that allows you now to reach your full potential, more so than not. And I feel that we both agreed that one of the things that I would like to do or strive to do is pass it on to the kids. And the reason for the kids is we're kind of in trouble.
I thought you were going to say old.
No. Okay. We have a lot more baggage. So
that is true.
More than likely, we'll never sort of reach our full potential because of all the baggage that we have. But if we can pass this on to the kids who don't have that much baggage on, And then that way they're going to live a more balanced life. Yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
So anyway.
So thank you, Bruce. And thank you so much, Sarah, for
thank
speaking
you.
With us this
and Marley,
morning.
And
of
Maddie.
Course, Marley and Maddie. And I can't think of a better place to record a podcast. All the nature sounds that I'm sure are coming through. This is the perfect place. We started our first episode on the back porch with the roosters crowing, and now today here we are at Pear Tree Farm, and it's a great place to be. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to Winnie Tales, the official podcast of Nature's View and the Marley Project, brought to you by JA Media Productions.